Well, good evening. Well, it's good to see you this afternoon. Back in Ephesians chapter 2, we're looking at that Christians are one in Christ Jesus. And the reason we say that is because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Nothing else matters. Nothing else differs from that. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are blessed on different degrees as Christians. And the blessings are ours as much as the Holy Spirit will shower upon us. It is the Holy Spirit that causes the things in our life to be, the things in our hearts and minds to be. You are where you're at today because the Holy Spirit put you here. You are of the belief and faith that you are because the Holy Spirit has given it to you. And the more that people understand, certainly the more they work to understand it, but the Holy Spirit's still the one that give it to them. We can't do anything Christian without the Spirit of God doing it for us. That's what we have to understand. He controls all of it. And the more stronger you are in faith, the more stronger you are in the Word, the more stronger you are in church, it's because the Holy Spirit's giving you that unction to be that and that ability to be that. And that's the reason Paul said what he did, that I am what I am by the grace of God. He always thought of himself as the least of the apostles because of who he was, the Saul of Tarsus. But look what God took him and did with him. It's amazing. It's a miracle itself because God did it. Everything God does is a miracle. You being saved tonight is a miracle because only God can save a sinner. Sinners cannot save themselves. Sinners cannot decide to come to Christ. They cannot choose to come to Christ. They cannot pray their way into Christ. They can't even believe because they don't have the faith to believe. The faith it takes to believe in Jesus Christ is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Bible point blank proves that out in Galatians. In verse 13, it says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh, how? By the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made us both one. No matter what we are, Jew or Gentile, white, black, Russian, German, American, Mexican, no matter what we are, if we are in Christ, we are one. And have broken down the middle wall partition between us. That is, whatever holds us apart, whatever separates us, whatever walls are there, Jesus Christ has broken them down for us. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make himself of twain one new man, one single new person. So making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them which were nigh, that is, that were close. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. That's the only way you can have access. It's by the Holy Spirit himself. Whatever prayers you pray, whatever closeness you have, it is the Spirit. The Spirit is in us. The Spirit comes in us before we are actually saved and causes our spirits to be quickened or made alive so that we can start communicating with God. And it is through that quickening that God causes us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and brings about our salvation. Without that, you can't be saved. It's impossible. And then the Spirit stays there. Jesus said when he leaves, he will send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, he called him, but the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is our Comforter. Since Jesus is on the right hand Father on high, Holy Spirit's with us. Jesus is not walking amongst us except in our hearts. He's on the right hand of the Father. But in the Holy Spirit, Jesus is with us, isn't he, all the time. Our first point this morning, besides our long introduction, was that Jesus Christ has made us one, for he is our peace, who hath made us both one, it says in verse 14. And then he goes on 14, on down in 14, the last part, it says, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Brother Albert Barnes wrote in his commentary on this, says, there is an allusion here, undoubtedly, to the wall of the portion of the temple by which the court of the Gentiles was separated from the Jews. And that's a reference to what the Lord's talking about breaking down, the wall to separate the Jews and Gentiles. Well, it don't matter whether that's the thought or not, the wall that separates everybody that are Christians, the Lord Jesus Christ breaks them down. Whatever walls they are. There was a time when black people and white people couldn't worship together. Well, that ought not be. I'm sorry, but it just ought not be. Any Christian should be able to walk into any house of faith and be able to worship in that house of faith, in that church. I don't care who they are. Don't mean that they can speak, and don't mean that they can sing, and don't mean that they can pray, but they can come and worship with us. They can do the other things if they're like faith. And we ought to love that person. Even if they believe different, we ought to love them. You know, that's our golden opportunity to teach them. People have to be taught. You realize that some people that grew up in these Armenian churches and Lord saved them, they don't know what you know. They've never heard what you've heard. I mean, some people are born in Texas and never leave Texas. I can't imagine that. I've been all over the United States. There's a very few states in the United States I haven't been. Only the far west, which I don't ever want to go, and the far east, which I don't ever want to go. I'm talking about the Northeast. I've been to New York. I've been to Utah. I haven't been to Oregon. I don't want to go to them places because it's too liberal. But anyway, they're a beautiful country. But I've just never been there. But I can't imagine never leaving a city. I used to go down to Houston and talk to people that unloaded my truck. I'd pay them to unload my truck called Lumpers. And people would tell me they're so poor that they had never been out of Houston. I can't imagine that. What a pig pen. But they said, I've never been out of Houston. I just want to tell them, well, get in the truck, let's go. I'll take you to Dallas and drop you off. And then you'll be out of here. I'm sorry, but I can't phantom people that's been in congregations and never been taught any truth, but they are. We are the most blessed of the blessed because we are sitting in a Sovereign Grace Landmark Baptist Church that believes and teaches the truth. We're not shy of it. We're not ashamed of it. We're not out to change it. We're out to teach it and want to understand deeper thoughts of it and understanding of it. That's the people we need to reach. That's where our teaching has such a great effect. And then you got those sitting in these Armenian churches that think they're saved and never have been saved. There's a lot of people out there who think they're saved and it's not. But anyway, the Lord said he's broken down the middle wall partition. Brother Oscar Mink said this, the term both refers to the two races, Gentiles and Jews. Listen, this oneness or unity of the races is the result of the Christ breaking down the middle wall partition, which has stood for 1,500 years between them. Christ broke it down. all petitions, all walls, Christ has broken down. Go to 1 John 2, if you will. 1 John chapter 2. I got to turn to that one, too, because it's 11 scriptures we're going to read there. First John chapter 2. The question is, if we as Christians build walls around us to keep out certain other Christians, then how can that oneness ever exist? If we only have any kind of a fellowship, if we only want to be around Christians that are Sovereign Grace Landmark, then how is a oneness ever going to exist? We have to make room in our lives for others. You know, brother, it's good to meet you. Understanding that we, as Sovereign Grace Landmark Baptist, are more blessed than they are. God has blessed us with where we are, what we believe, and what we do in our lives. More so than they. Instead of looking down on them, we look at them even eyes. They're not less than we are. We didn't do anything they haven't done. The Lord has blessed us more than they are. A lot of people talk like, well, they need to get out of that mess. A lot of them don't know to get out of it. If you teach them something different, they're not going to understand it if God don't show it to them. Neither did you. How can oneness exist on the earth among the brothers and sisters in Christ? How can peace ever exist? Go to 1 John chapter 2. In verse 1 it says, my little children, these things I write unto you that sin not, that is the ones that are saved. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That is, everyone who believed in the world. The wall of petitions have been broken down. The same Lord, the same faith, the same baptism. And thereby, we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keep not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Thereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so be walk even as he walked. That is a requirement of us who are in him. But walking is what we understand to walk, isn't it? If you don't know something is a sin, it's not sin to you. If you don't know how to properly walk in the Lord, how are you going to walk? Brethren, I write no new commandments, but an old commandment which you have from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, it's gone by us, and the true light now shineth, the true light being Jesus. And he that saith he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even now. Do you hear that? Do you understand that? You say, well, I don't hate them. Well, if you don't like them, you hate them, do you not? It's a love, folks. Now, let's go on. Verse 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Nothing. There's nothing in him to cause you to stumble. Do you understand? God does it for us. It's not them. can't blame people for not knowing if they've never been taught. Verse 11 be our last one here. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. What's blinded his eyes? Darkness. When preachers and pastors and churches dislike people that are supposed to be Christians, if someone tells you they're a Christian, you have to believe them. You may never know unless God saves them or you see them in glory. You may never know, but if a person tells you they're a Christian, your whole attitude toward them has to change. There's no walls around us, folks. I'm sorry, there's no walls around us. Walls have been built in the past. They cannot exist. Go to Romans 14. We see a truth that Paul wrote here in Romans 14. In verse 13 and 14, just two scriptures here. Paul wrote this truth in verse 13 of Romans 14. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. Let us not judge anymore, but judge rather this, that no man put a stumbling block on occasion to fall in his brother's way. You can't put things in people's way to cause them to stumble. I know, I am persuaded, Lord says to Paul, by the Lord Jesus Christ, that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. What the Lord's saying here is, this is a debate over meat, whether you can eat or not eat. And what the Lord's saying here is, if it offends your brother, don't do it. If it offends your brother, don't do it. Don't put stumbling blocks in front of your brother to cause them to sin, because the sin's going to be on you, because the Lord commanded that we not put those stumbling blocks up. In other words, if your brother in Christ believes it's unfruitful to or unholy or sin to eat meat, don't sit there and eat the meat in front of him. Don't do things that's going to cause you and your brother or sister in Christ to be offended. If you don't have to, I'm not talking about ignore the truth. Don't carry this where it don't belong. I'm not talking about doctrinal truth and things. But don't use the truth to bang them over the head. Remember, always remember this. I hope I ain't messing this up, but please don't ever forget this. You have God blessed with the truth to deliver that truth to other people in a loving, kind, gentle way. If they're going to learn, God's going to teach them. So don't put stumbling blocks in front of your brother or sister and cause them to stumble. We will not all agree in this world on everything. Therefore, we must use our belief in Christ as a peace offering and not set stumbling blocks for the fall of our brothers and sisters in Christ. The greatest thing we possess outside of Christ is his love in our hearts. That's the greatest. You know what the greatest thing about God is? His love. Out of all the attributes of God and all the things of God is his love. Because without love, nothing else happens. Think about it. Why did God choose you? He loved you. Why did God save you? He loved you. Why did God send Jesus to die on the cross for our sins? He loved us. Everything between God and us starts out with God's love. Says in 1 John, he loved you before you ever loved him. That is the love that you now have in your heart, because one of the gifts of the Spirit is love. It's love. And the first people you're supposed to love in this world are other Christians. Find common ground with them. Talk to them. Make friends with them. And then witness the truth to them in a gentle, kind sort of way. Lord says you may save a brother. But if we put up walls, if we separate ourselves from the rest of the world, I'm not talking about we go over to their church and fellowship with them. I'm not talking about church here. I'm talking about us as Christians. We know the churches are different. We know that some are churches, some are not. We understand all of that, and that's not what I'm talking about. Let your light shine before all, and it will affect them. Your light shining. The Lord says not to hide your light, but to let it shine, that they may see it. What's walls do? It dims the light, doesn't it? Walls just dim the lights. So Jesus broke down the middle wall of separation. We do not allow ourselves, or need to allow ourselves, to rebuild the walls. Okay. I think I've said enough on that. Let's move down to our next one. Our third point. In verse 15 of our text, turn back over to Ephesians 2. Verse 15 of our text says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Now, I'm certainly not in the next 10 minutes or so going to get everything out of this verse. So we're going to start with the very first part. Jesus Christ having abolished in his flesh the enmity. The word enmity means the hostility or the opposition or the hatred. See, there's two kinds of people in this world. Lost and saved. The lost have nothing but hate. I'm sorry, they don't have anything but hate. And the saved should have nothing but love. That's the two kinds of people. And it is us who should know that enmity between us, whatever it was. I mean, just study history. Study the history of this country right now, and you will find the hatred between different people. It exists today. Those that are lost, they have hate in their heart. They don't have love. They have a love, but it's not God's love. It's mostly a love for themselves. Mostly a love of selfishness. Go to Romans 8, if you will. We were at enmity with God before we were saved. We love God. Before you were saved, I don't care what you were. I don't care if you went to church. I don't care if you dedicated your life. Most people do not love God. It is against their nature to love God. They are totally depraved. The Lord said in Romans 3 emphatically, without question, without doubt, that we were at enmity with the Lord God, and we hated him. We did not want to know him. We did not want to understand him, and we did not want him in our lives. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. The Lord wrote through the Apostle Paul, for to be carnally minded, that is, lost, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the cardinal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Why? Because they're at enmity with God. How can anything at enmity with God ever please God? Well, if most people are enmity with God, then they're in enmity with you, because you belong to God. If they're in enmity with God and with you, they're in enmity with His Word. They don't like it. People that call themselves Christians, people that call themselves going to church on Sunday, people that call themselves doing good works every day, are at enmity with the Word of God. You understand what I'm saying? They don't like it. They don't like what it says. The difference between a lost person and a saved person that don't understand the Word is that lost people hate the Word. Saved people look at the Word as truth, and if they're shown a truth by the direction of the Holy Spirit, they'll believe that truth. You understand what I'm saying? There's a wall between us and the lost people. And it's a wall between love and hate. So while they cannot love God, and they don't love God, they don't love His Word, they don't love us, they don't love His churches, they have no love for anything really, except for themselves. They cannot please God no matter what they do. Saved people are different now. The separation was the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, verse 15. Or their belief or interpretation of the Scripture. The Old Testament Jews believed in the law of the commandments, and they understood them to be something they lived, but they didn't live them. Do you understand what I'm saying? People can't live the law. Nobody can live the law. Nobody can live the law. Not even us as Christians can live the law. We fail the law. And if you fail in 1 John or Tilly, you're guilty of law. But we have lived the law in Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ has lived the law. The Jews wanted to get themselves to heaven by the living of the law. Armenians today want to get themselves to heaven by the living of the law. And that's one wall the Lord Jesus Christ had to break down, is to make them understand, those that He saved, that the law is not our saving tool. Jesus Christ is our saving tool. You can live the law as close as you can and go to hell for your trouble. The Lord had to make them understand, so He did with us and everybody else that's been saved, is that the law is our schoolmaster and not our saving tool. It's not our salvation. Jesus is our salvation. When you look at the law versus faith, when you look at Arminianism, who believes in the works, baptism, church membership, and all the other things. When you look at these places, these what calls themselves churches, these organizations, these assemblies, whatever you want to call them, when you look at them, they're not about Jesus. Their salvation's not about Jesus. Their worship's not about Jesus. Nothing they do is about Jesus Christ. Even if they got the big 10-foot crosses, 10 foot wide, 10 foot deep, 10 foot long, whatever, crosses, it means nothing to them. They're hung up on their symbols, which is their crosses and their statues, and not on Jesus. Jesus Christ is not a statue. The cross has no relevance to us. Jesus Christ is man. He was a man. He lived as a man. He died as a man. He was buried as a man. He rose from the grave as a man, and He sits on the right hand of the Father on high as a man. That's who he is. He sits on the right hand of the Father. He's not on the cross. The cross has no relevance. Just like his blood washes us, cleanses us from our sins. Not our past sins. Not even our present sins. But all sins. Every sin we've ever committed. Every sin we ever will commit. And for people to say it doesn't defiles the scriptures. And that's what these people do. They're selfish. It's about them. Works, church membership, baptism, all these things they have for salvation is what? It's all one big package of me, myself, and I. That's cardinal, folks. We praise God for what he's done for us every day. We thank the Lord our God. We thank our Savior. And we certainly thank the Holy Spirit for bringing us to the truth and to quicken our spirits. Building walls of separation is fleshly, not spiritually. The law was given to Israel. It was a tool to be a schoolmaster to bring them to Christ, as Paul so said in Galatians. But they used a separation between themselves and the Gentiles. One more quote from Brother Mink here. Brother Mink said, "The law, the scripture tells us, just, holy, and good." He uses Romans 7:12. "The law was not given so as to remove sin." Listen. "But to manifest the evil hearts of the best men, showing their inability to save themselves and to cause them to despair of all hope in the creature ability." That is great. That is wonderful. That is a beautiful statement right there. I would to God that I could get that out to the world, that very statement. He goes on to say, "The law was given to Israel exclusively." And he's right, wasn't it? Who did God give the law to? Israel. And it was given to humble them. But instead of being humbled by the gracious favor of God, they became proud and haughty. Listen. Continue with Brother Meek's thought. "Thus it was that enmity was generated between them and the Gentiles. The Jews, in process of time, not only misinterpreted the law, but became deceived as to the reason God gave them the law," Brother Meek says. He continues on. "It was not given to Israel because they were righteous, but to manifest their ungodliness." Ain't that a statement? He's right. There's nothing righteous about the law to us. It's to show us our unrighteousness. Schoolmaster, Paul called it. He goes on with this and says, I'll be done in a second. "The secondary purpose of the law was to protect God's special people, Israel, from imbibing them the paganism of the nations around them. It is this point that the enmity between the Jews and the Gentiles existed. While Israel was a special people under God, they were not morally better than the idolatrous Gentile nation on their borders. They weren't better. Nobody's better. We're all the same, folks. We're sinners saved by the grace of God. The law is nothing to us as far as our salvation, but a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. I wish people could understand it. I wish I could do something to cause people to grasp that. real quickly, let me finish this. Go to Romans 14. Back in our text, the Lord says, for to make in himself a plain one new man, so making peace. Albert Barnes said, of the two, Jews and Gentiles, one new spiritual person, that they might be united. And the idea is that the two persons who had been at enmity might become reconciled to be one. That's what God said, isn't it? Albert Barnes is exactly right, just like Oscar was exactly right. The idea is to bring two people together to make them one. Isn't it awesome? I hate that word. Isn't that wonderful? I hate that word because Armenian used so much. Isn't that wonderful that people like us come together, sit in church, and we become like one? It is a wonderful thing, isn't it? That's what we're supposed to be. Isn't it wonderful when we go to a Bible conference in Oakdale or Denham or Footwork or Tulsa or even our Bible conference here, where all these different churches, all these different Christians come together as one? Otherwise, peace will never be. In Romans chapter 14, verse 17, and I'll end with this. For the kingdom of God is not meant to is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he that is in these things serve Christ is acceptable to God. Not the drink and the meat, but the ones that serve the Lord in righteousness, peace, and the joy of the things the Holy Spirit does. And approved of men. Now listen. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. Let us follow after the things that make peace. Don't set stumbling blocks. And things with where one may edify another. For meat destroyeth not the works of God. That means it's not bad, but if it offends people, deny it. All things indeed are pure. Listen. But it is evil for that man who eats with offense. In other words, if you're putting stumbling blocks, if you're doing things before your brother, and is offensive to him, then you are the evil one. You are the one that's doing wrong. That's not what Christians do. In other words, if you've got an Armenian brother in Christ, if you're sitting there just pounding the sovereign grace on him, knowing that it's making him mad, you're the one wrong. To do anything in offense to other brethren makes it evil intent for us. Think about those things. It is most important that you believe the truth of God, that you believe the Bible, and believe it in an unfailing way. To believe the sovereign grace, all 5 points. To believe the Landmark Baptist, Landmark Church. To believe the truth on the ordinances about Lord's Supper and baptism. These things are so important. But they're not weapons. We're not weapons we fight others with. Brother Hammond used to tell me that he'd go to Bible conferences and men would fake out into fight. Literally, not fist fighting, but fights of words. Why? Why? That's not your purpose. If somebody ever done that here, I would never invite them back. If if you know that a brother disagrees with you, a Bible conference is not the place for the conversation. And that disappoints me in some brethren. I didn't know them, but it still disappoints me in them. That they would use a church that holds a Bible conference and get in their pulpit and fight one another with the messages. How dare them? I had one brother come here and did that mildly to me, and I overlooked it. I will never overlook it again for him. Ever. This is our pulpit. God's given it to us to care for. And it's not going to be used for that. That's not brotherly love. It's not. You don't force what you believe on other people.
Even if you say it in a very kind way, you ought to be careful what you're teaching.